This episode is sponsored by JSOX. JSOX is the leader in Steam Deck accessories. They have everything from cases to screen protectors and so much more. Interested in changing the color of your Steam Deck? JSOX colored transparent backplates not only give your deck a dash of color, but it also has heat dissipation aluminum sheet that enhances the heat dissipation and helps your deck run cooler. Also, be sure to check out their new mod case that allows you to use many different accessories like a fan, battery pack, and more. If you own a Steam Deck, head on over to jsox.com. That's jsamux.com for their full line of products. Once again, we would like to thank JSOX for their support of the show. Everybody, welcome back to the Gamer Science Podcast. My name is John Meadows. With me, as always, is Eric and Nathaniel. Dennis is somewhere in the ether of
in the internet land.
Yeah, the internet land of problems.
Internet limbo land of I don't know what this computer's doing. I'm going to kick it to the curb.
Yeah, I understand
it's
that.
To be a game.
apparently, he's gotten my problem. It's usually on my end that there's a technical problem. Not
so what you're saying is your pass it off to someone else ritual went very well.
I am happy. Yes, I did a seance. we burned sage and then we went in a circle four times during the full moon the other night. So hey, it worked.
Yay.
If you believe in that stuff, I'm not going to say I don't, knock on wood, because, I don't.
You made a dream catcher out of, some old USB cables.
Oh, Lord, I could. We were cleaning out the garage, and I totally forgot that I had a tote out there of all the old cables that I've had that I've never used in like 15 years, and we brought them with the move, and they got shoved all the way back in the back of the thing. So we were cleaning out boxes and moving stuff around, and I went, there is stuff in there for a Palm Pilot. It's like,
yeah,
it's like I don't even know where the Palm Pilot is at. It's like there's like a Trio charger in there with a dock thing. It's like who still has a Palm Trio? Who has that? Does anybody?
There might be some interest. I sold mine. I had like the one from like 2002, 2003. I forget which version it was. And I sold it probably 5 years ago for like $60. Somebody was interested. It worked still. All right.
I have a card from, it's a card reader thing from Sony. I don't think it ever made it in production. I don't even know how I got it. I don't even remember the name of it. It's still out there in the box. I got to bring it in and take a look at it because I don't even remember what it was. But you set up passwords. It was like a password manager, but it had a card with it. That if you wanted to log into your computer, you had to just lay the card down on it, and it would log you in. And if you're on a website, you could just lay it down on there. But it was something, and some VIO or something, and I never saw it in production. I don't know how I got it. I don't even know. I don't even remember what it was called. It was something weird. But,
tell me. It worked once, and then I gave up because I got mad at it.
I don't even remember. It may have been one of them things where a lot of times when I worked at Circuit City back in the day, they would have, Intel would have programs.
What's a Circuit City?
Yeah, I know, right? Intel would have, things where we would go in the evenings and they would show us new products and stuff like that. And I don't know if it was something like that. And that was almost 20 years ago, so I don't remember anything about it. But I'm going to pull it out and look at it. It's called Magic Card or Magic. I don't remember. I don't remember what it was now. But I found it the other day and went, oh, I still got this thing? It's like, what is it? Yeah, it's weird. But yeah, I don't know.
Still kind of cool you dug out. My buddy I'm doing a yard sale with a friend in a couple weeks. He's like, I got this big box of cables. He's like, whatever you want. And I'm like, dude, this is stuff from like PC Tech like 20 years ago. And nobody's going to want this.
Yeah.
As I'm digging through it, I'm like, okay, maybe I'll take a few things from this.
Yeah, it's... I don't know why I kept it. It's like... And what did I do? I didn't even throw it away. I just shoved the box back in the corner of the sun. Okay,
well, that's my man. That's what I would
do too. It's like, why didn't I even just throw it away? And it's like, that's... Who cares? Whatever, it's in my garage.
The recycling pot. The recycling cast.
Yeah.
Where we talk about things that we have in our attic slash garage.
Yeah, things that we need to get rid of. So...
But, I'll use it eventually. It's been 30 years.
Yeah, I know, right? Oh, my gosh. So, anyway, let's get a... We're starting late, so let's talk about what we've been playing, what we've been doing. I said on the last show that I had pre-ordered Jedi Survivor on PC.
Like a champ.
Yeah, you know, I was excited to play it. I wanted it. It ran... Okay, so last week when it came out, it was running really good for me. The frame rate never dropped below 59, 58 frames a second. It usually stayed between 59 or 60 and 70, and that's perfect. If it stays at 60, I was fine with that. But I sent you guys the video. It was just going, you know, but you couldn't feel it. It was so fast, you know, so high you couldn't feel it. So it wasn't like it was going from 30 or 40 to 30 to 20. It was going in the opposite direction. So
yeah, but even with that, something crazy is going on.
Yeah,
swinging that much, there's a problem.
Yeah. Oh yeah. And
especially if you're just standing still doing nothing.
Yeah, that was the thing. I was standing still in a hallway. There was nothing there. I mean, there was nothing. I was just in a hallway. It's like, and it was going crazy like that. But you know, once I got to the second planet, it's kind of leveled out and stayed around 60 frames a second. So, and it looks beautiful. The story is awesome. The combat is flipping great because, well, you pretty much, it's not like most games where I've got amnesia and I have to start over. You know, I don't have any of my powers or anything.
I got hit.
Oh, you've got, you got double jump. You got all your moves from the last game right off the bat. So you just feel like a badass right at the beginning of the game, which is what you want, you know. And you can have, you've got two stances right off the bat, so you can dual wield, or you can single wield, or you can have the double bladed. And I mean, it's just, you're just wrecking things. But holy fright, they did a patch that was supposed to fix things, and I tried it this evening just to see, and I can't. It loads up my save, crashes. Loads up my save,
crash.
Loads up my save, I walk outside, crash. It's crash. Like, son of a gun. So, and in Steam Deck, it's just a wreck. It's just a wreck on Steam Deck. But what's funny is the performance mode and the quality mode is backwards. So, I have it in quality mode getting high frame rate when I should only be getting 60. If you put it in performance mode, the graphics go to crap and the frame rate drops below 30 frames a second. So, it's like, what? This is not... Right, performance is supposed to be, so it's backwards somehow. And like I said, last week it was running great. I played 5 or 6 hours. I got out of the, out of the first planet. Now, what was funny on the Steam Deck, it crashed on Coruscant all the time. As soon as I'd walk in, crash. As soon as I'd walk in, crash. So, once I got it down on PC, downloaded on PC, I played the whole level, no problems, went through the whole thing. It is a excellent game that is marred with a lot of technical problems, at least on PC. I know the console versions are a little better, but not to the extent of PC. But I mean, I still am hearing people having problems with, you know, performance mode on Xbox and PlayStation.
Yeah, it seems there's problems on every platform. It's just that PC gets all of those and then some more.
Yeah, it's really odd. I mean,
which is why I'm glad I waited since the reviews and stuff are coming out saying there's performance issues with them. I'm like, all right, well, I'm not playing this one right away, unfortunately.
What aggravated me with the reviews was, is you would, you know, because I watched a lot of videos, read a lot of reviews before it came out, and you know, you'd see the snippet, oh, it's an 8 out of 9, and then you'd read it, and it was, oh, it's great this, oh, it's great that, and then at the bottom, but there was a couple performance issues, it crashed a lot, it da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da. I'm like, well, then it's not an 8. It's not a high-scoring game if it doesn't perform well.
I've narrowed mine down to, like, the reviews where I only go to a few places that know how they do them, so it's not all that weird nonsense. It's like, okay, I know how they do the reviews and what they typically are, you know, looking for, and sometimes where, like, I may disagree with them, that kind of thing. It makes it a little easier to, like, parse that without having to go everywhere and all these, like, okay, well, I've never read this person before, how did they do a review, I don't know, and do they care about performance or not, because some places or people just reviewers in general, they either maybe just didn't run into it because they happen to have a system where it wasn't doing issues, or
right,
you know, they just don't care about performance issues as much as some other people do, so in their reviews they don't mention as much. So it's definitely one of those things that, like, if you care about that, you need to find, like, the reviewers that kind of match up with what you care about, so that you know that they will tell you about
right.
this thing.
I don't know. To me, if a game has performance issues, that should be, I don't care. That should be taken in consideration. It just should be. Because you should, you know, because especially if somebody's just, maybe somebody doesn't read the review. They just go on Metacritic and go, oh, wow, look, that game's at 87 on Metacritic, or I don't know what Jedi Survivor is on Metacritic like now. But then you go on there and then 75. All of a sudden, maybe, I don't know. And then you go on there and then all of a sudden it's like, you buy it and it just runs like crap. You know, it's like, well, I took that guy's word, you know, or I took Metacritic's. Well, yeah, because they all said, hey, it's great. It runs great.
It's a good game.
Yeah. And it is. It's a great game. I mean, it is a awesome game. I mean, the gameplay is great. The story is awesome. Cal's a much more likable character. I liked him in the first game, but now he's got a lot more depth to him. Yeah. More personality, more depth. You can customize the way he looks, you know.
The first game where it's just like, hide the ugly poncho. All right,
yeah,
there we go.
I mean, that's, yeah. I mean, now you can give him hairdos, beards. I mean, there's so much more you can do with it. Yeah, I mean, I don't know if you've seen the picture rolling around with the mullet and the handlebar mustache you can give him. I mean, it's, yeah, it's,
that's good.
It is great. You gotta find it. You gotta search. If you Jedi Survivor mullet, you'll find it, and it is hilarious looking. I mean, he looks like the dude from that was on the Drew Carey show that was in Office Space. His neighbor, dude's neighbor. That's what he looks like, except it's red hair. I mean, he's got the long, it's curly. It's hilarious. I mean, it is really, really cool. But it's an awesome game. But now I can't play it because it just constantly crashes on my PC. So, oh, well, you know, we'll put it to the back burner and I'll pick something else to play till it figures that out. But
give them time to put it in the, like, patch it up frying pan and cook it a little longer.
Well, I mean, let's see, Hogwarts just came out with a patch yesterday and they added the FSR 2.1, and that game went from, oh, it looks good on Steam Deck, runs about 30 frames a second, to, man, this game looks awesome on Steam Deck, and it runs about 60 frames a second now. So it's like, all right, I need to finish that. So since it's running really good on Steam Deck, even better now on Steam Deck, I'll go back to Steam Deck and finish it while I'm waiting on Jedi. But all I wanted to do last weekend was play Fallen Order or Survivor. That's all I wanted to do. After just playing it that little bit, it's like, I didn't want to stop playing it. But I almost was like, I'll buy the Xbox version, and I went, no, I'm not double dipping on a game because it's not working.
Probably not at $70. Yeah.
Yeah. Well, and I've got some rewards points and stuff like that, so I could cut it in.
Yeah, but you're still spending $70.
Yeah.
It's just you're getting the reward points. You're using points on that instead of something else, right?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, I mean, that's my problem. It's like,
you're still spending. It's just, it's not all, you know, dollars. You throw some reward points in there, too, but you could put them on something else if you
exactly
didn't.
Yeah, so that's...
Man, I have so many reward points. At one time, I had, like, almost 100K. I was very happy to get rid of them, buy some stuff.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. So, yeah, I know. I wish I had that many. That would be... I wouldn't know what to do with myself if I had that many, so... But, yeah, I mean, literally, that is about all that I've been playing is that. There's a couple other things that I've tried out that I think are embargoed, so I'm not going to say anything about them right now. But, yeah, I mean, That's been it. Trying to get
busy.
Jedi Survivor to run. So it's just disappointing. It's just very disappointing.
Yeah, that sucks. It'll get better though.
Oh yeah, but, I know it will.
Patch coming, but
You got this week with Redfall coming out in the shape it was in, and Jedi Fallen Order. It's just not a good look
for the triple A's
right now.
There hasn't been a AAA release this year that's been smooth.
No, I mean even
I was really pumped up for Redfall too, and I was reading some of the stuff and like, ooh, yikes.
Redfall is my favorite description of it that I've heard so far.
A hot pile?
It is an aggressively mid game that has a ton of issues on top of that. But even if there were no bugs and stuff, just the game itself is just like, no. And like there's multiple people that have heard saying, don't keep supporting this game, don't make DLC for it. Fix some of the stuff so it runs well enough and then just ditch it. Because it's just not worth their time.
And,
which makes me sad because I love arcane games, and this is very much it just looked like a big miss.
Yeah, it did. And it's like I said the other day, our last show, it's like, I was really hoping that we'd get something. I like games that might end up being four player that, we can all get in and play. We have a good time with that. And something different that's not, just Back for Blood or Left for Dead. Something unique and new.
I mean, this was definitely not that either.
No, and that's what everybody was like, oh, it's going to be, it's going to be this. No, it wasn't even that. That's a sad thing.
The thing that blows my mind is that they spent so much money on multiple CG trailers for this game, and there are absolutely no CG cutscenes in the game.
Yeah, that's...
They're all like artwork that's like slightly, slightly animated, but no like full-on cutscenes in the game. Like, you spent all that money on that, and you didn't even like design them so they could be double-dipped and used in the game again? Like, that was not a good use of money.
No, it wasn't. And I don't know. We'll get into that in what little bit of news we have with Phil Spencer interview when we talk about that. But hello, Dennis. Are you there? Are you locked up or frozen?
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Hopefully everything is okay. I can't promise I'll be entirely stable, but right now I'm just trying not to touch anything. I'm here. So anything I need to look up, I'm going to do on my phone.
Okay.
Because even so, there's still a little bit of lag. Hopefully I sound okay.
Yeah, you sound fine. You sound fine.
Okay, cool. So that's all I can really ask for at this point. So.
Yeah, I'm just resizing things for four people. So if you have to drop or something like that, it should go. I could go right back to three real quick. So probably anybody that's watching the stream like now is like, why are you moving all these pictures around and resizing things? What is going on? Don't worry about it. It's all good.
Because someone was late. That's why.
It's all right.
And I was having technical difficulties.
It's okay. It's all right. It is okay.
Me. Hi, how are you guys?
Yeah. We're good. We're good. How are you?
Good.
But Nathaniel, go ahead and talk about, I'm curious about what this game is. I didn't look it up, so.
So, because Jedi Survivor was all, kind of not great, I decided I'm not going to buy it, even though I was wanting to play it. I'll wait until it's smoother so I can have, less frustration the first time I play it, because I know if I play it now, it would be not fun. So, The Last Case of Benedict Fox came out the day before Jedi Survivor on Game Pass.
Okay.
So I played that a little bit, and I would give it probably 6.5 or 7 out of 10. It would be lower than that, except for the art style is about like a 9 or 9.5 out of 10. It looks really pretty, which is why like the trailers and stuff looked cool.
Yeah.
But just the game itself has some rough edges, and kind of similar to you, they patched it and it's rougher for me.
Yeah.
So I was playing it today, and so all of like, there's basically these kind of little portal things around the map that are your fast travel things, and every time that like I would go up to one, it like has like micro freezes, and it would like hitch for a bit for every single one, and then there's some other weird stuff that it was doing, but it was also doing other weird stuff like that before they patched it too, so it wasn't just like some weird thing. But anyway, like the premise of the game is you are Benedict Fox. And it assumes that you know who the hell that is. In the game, it doesn't really set him up. It's the story in this game is okay. It's got some flair, like the voice acting is okay and in like all the stuff, but it doesn't really tell the story all that well. You kind of have to fill in some of the blanks a little bit, and I don't know. It's got like a really cool universe. So you're like a guy who has kind of like a demon or something or other that you run around with it as your companion, is what the game calls it, and that's where you get your powers from. And so you have kind of like these like cool dark tentacly things that you can use to like grab things. You can use it to double jump, but the only one of my frustrations with the game, we'll get to it, but you use it for other things. You can do like ground slams, other things you unlock through the game. That's kind of like how your power set goes.
Yeah,
and it's very much just a Metroidvania kind of game. So side scrolling, running around, find things to unlock other things. It has a lot more kind of like puzzle doors, basically. So there's different puzzles for different kinds of doors, and I quickly turned that off and turned on. There's some accessibility stuff where it's like, hey, you can just do auto solve. So if you have all the things for this puzzle, you can do it. Because, like, I've done this before. It's not particularly fun to solve. I'll just, like, hit the button instead so I can just open the door and keep going. And also, eventually, I went and turned on the accessibility thing so that I'm invulnerable, because the combat in this game is also not the best. Like, it seems okay at first, and the longer you play it, it just doesn't quite work. There's all sorts of weird things in this game where there's like a bestiary entry, but I'm like close to the end of the game and there's like 7 things in there, and you're like, well, why bother? Like, what was the point of that? All sorts of like just weird little choices. There's also some stuff that like bugs me with kind of like the environment. So they have like stuff in the foreground in front of the character that like kind of like blocks your view. It's going in front of the camera, and lots of 2D games do this, like the 2.5D thing, so you have stuff in the foreground and the background to give it more depth and whatnot.
Right.
But you gotta balance the foreground out so that you're not blocking things all the time or important. They have so many foreground elements in all of these levels that you're going through, and some of them, when you're going through like a doorway, you can get hit by an enemy that you didn't even know was there because it was on the other side of a door. I was like, but I couldn't see it. Come on. Then there's like some frustrations with how double jump works, is it has to have a surface in range that your tentacles can attach to. So like a ceiling or a ledge or something. And so you see like a little purple glowy thing on your screen, whatever it's there. But if you're just in the heat of running around, you're just going to be hitting that button like automatically. And sometimes it doesn't work because you're in a place that has like a high ceiling that you can't get to.
Yeah.
So you're jumping over this like pit of, you know, purple goo or whatever it may be, or lava. It's not really lava, but kind of the same thing, where if you fall in it, you like get hurt and die and reset back, and you miss it because you were assuming there was a double jump. And so it's set up where the distance is, you have to like run and get right on the edge of it to where it's like your heel is just like a couple pixels still on there, so you're furthest off before you fall, and then jump and then like hold over and then just barely hit the other side. Like, there's a few of them, there's no leeway at all. You're just like, man.
Huh.
There's a couple of places too where sometimes like an enemy will get there and just sit on the ledge and you can't get past them because of the collision, and you're just like, ugh, come on, game. Just like, there is a good game buried in there, like really good. Like, I'm still having enough fun with it that I've kept playing it. I haven't gotten frustrated enough to stop. Although I came close a couple of times on sequences I'll go into in a minute. But it's just like, there's enough rough edges and just like design decisions are just a little bit like iffy, and it's just like, how it doesn't tell you where to go, even in like a good way. Like, it's wanting you to explore, I get that, but there's ways to kind of like signpost it so you have an idea of like, oh, I should go be trying to do this now. And sometimes it tells you something, but it's just a dialogue and things, and then like the hint that's still left in kind of like your quest line thing, it's only a few words, and you're just like, wait, what am I supposed to do? Where do I go for that? Because it's all like, go find more journal entries or whatever. And you're just like, but where do I go to try looking for them or track down this thing? You're like, but where should I even start looking? It doesn't even give you like any direction vaguely. So there's a lot of times where I'm just like, all right, look at the map. I see some question marks. If I haven't gone here yet, let me go through here. And nope, that's not where I'm supposed to be. Oh, hey, let me go here. Oh, I found all this other stuff. And then I get up over finally on this other side, get the thing I was going for, and then go back to like the hub area and be like, hey, I found these other things too, so I can do like 3 or 4 things in a row. And like just the way it paces those out kind of is like a little bit weird, especially for some of them that are tied into the story.
Yeah. But, looks
Harry
cool.
Houdini is your shopkeeper, which okay. I didn't find out until today after playing it for like a dozen hours and be like, oh, okay. I think they've called him Harry before, but it didn't like make a point of like, yo, it's Harry Houdini. He's this dude who's selling you stuff. Selling your consumables. It's like, okay.
Sure.
But two times I almost got frustrated to the point of quitting and not playing. And it is two sections in the game that are chase sequences. Oof. That are kind of like, you know, in the Uncharted games when like, oh no, destruction's happening, run away, and except just like the 2D form of that.
Yeah.
There's like no forgiveness in the timing of it. You go, and then like, if you're just like slightly off, then you're gonna die. And every single time, you start at the very beginning of the sequence. So it's a matter of going partway through until you die. Okay, now go again. Go again. All right, you kind of know that section, so you got a little bit further. Oh wait, nope, there's an obstacle that you hit. And you gotta remember where that was, and you get almost all the way, and then like, nope, died again. And then sometimes you just reset. Sometimes, oh wait, that thing caught you this time, so that now you're like dead. So now you have to respawn at a place, run back to where this sequence started, click this item, listen to some unskippable dialogue for like, you know, a good 15-20 seconds, then get in the chase sequence again, then keep going and going. And it's like, the way they were designed was just like so frustrating. It was like, yeah. I get what you're doing, but put some checkpoints in here if you're gonna make them this long or whatever, because it was just like way too long to be starting over at the beginning again. Like one time I had to put the game down and come back the next day because I was like really frustrated with it. So just things like that, like it's not any one thing, it's just a bunch of small things throughout the game that's kind of like just some, it'd be kind of like quality of life and balance issues is sort of what it boils down to. Yeah. A lot of it just sort of balance of how some of the enemies work, and you know how, you know, hey, it takes you forever to go find this thing and all this other stuff. Like if they went through like maybe another time or two and just did like a little bit of a quality of life pass on it, it would make it a lot better.
Yeah,
because like there's some really good stuff in there, and it's really really fun. You get like upgrades by getting tattoos on your arms, like magical tattoos from the mysterious tattoo lady. And like you get some different consumables that you can upgrade. You get like your two weapons. You have like a dagger or bayonet. It's a bayonet like end, and then like a little pistol thingy, and you can upgrade them with different items that you find. And so it's very much a Metroidvania. You're like, oh, you have this new ability, now you can open these kinds of doors. Or you can collect, like, there's a bunch of things. You collect a bunch of different tarot cards, and that's used for the tarot card doors that you have to, like, use the clues to, like, pick, you know, which tarot cards actually go to unlock it. You have, like, there's, like, chess doors. There's doors with this weird number system, but it's numbers done by symbols. There's, like, weird keys. Like, there's all sorts of nonsense in this game. Like, there's a lot of cool stuff that they're trying to do, and it's just like they didn't quite nail the quality of life of how it feels to play it. But like how it looks is nice, how it sounds and everything is pretty good, and the combat is okay. It's not great, but it's, you know, most part it's usually doable for a while. And then like the further you get into the game, you do get some more powerful like stuff with your weapons, but like the enemies also get like enough new like abilities or powerfulness or whatever. Yeah. That they're just annoying, which is why I eventually just turned off. Like, I don't care. I'm gonna make myself invulnerable. I just want to try and get through like what story I have left.
Yeah.
In this game.
Yeah. Well, it was like me with Jedi Survivor. It's like the, you know, the combat, I played it on, you know, normal, and I was like, yeah, the combat feels great. It feels good. I just want the story, and I know this isn't running well, so let me just turn it on easy and just plow through things as quickly as I can right now. Because yeah. I'll end up playing it twice. So.
Yeah, it's like if the gameplay is fun, like Jedi Survivor, I would want to play it on, like, you know, at least normal difficulty, because the combat is at least designed to be fun and
right.
be, you know, a decent amount of enemy variety. But this game does not. It has, like I said, about 6 or 7 in the bestiary, and then there's like it's the same enemy type, but there's like a tougher version of it that has kind of like some electricity, you know, on it or whatever, versus the base one. But it's still the same thing. Same moveset. It doesn't actually do anything new. It's just it looks a little different.
Right.
And maybe takes a few more hits to kill. And she's like, this is okay, fine.
Yeah.
So yeah, that's pretty much all I've been playing. It's like, if you like Metroidvanias and like you like the look of what it looked like in the trailers, it's probably worth trying it out on Game Pass. It's not like it's a terrible game by any means. It's just like the graphics are so, like, the art design and kind of just like world building, a little bit of like what it is a lot higher than some of the other, like, just actual gameplay and how you're interacting with its stuff is.
That's cool.
At least for me.
That's it looks cool. It looks real cool.
Yeah. So it's definitely worth trying for sure. It's not, if I was litter graded, it'd be like maybe B minus or something like that.
That's not bad. Plus,
if I was feeling more frustrated that day.
Yeah. Well, that's not bad. That's not bad at all.
Yeah.
Go ahead. Were you going to say something? Sorry. I didn't want to cut you off.
No, I just said yeah.
Oh, okay. I didn't want to cut you off there. I didn't mean to cut you off. So, Eric, why don't you go ahead and talk about what you've been playing?
Oh, nothing too exciting. I went on a trip a couple weeks ago, and I took my 3DS with me because I was trying to figure out what I could fit in my bag. It wasn't going to take up the most space. I was like, well, my brother's bringing his Switch, so I don't need to bring mine. I was like, well, my Steam Deck is tempting. 3DS, Steam Deck, we're back and forth. But the backpack I took was a lot smaller than I anticipated, so 3DS it was. I barely played. I played Station, and I haven't played that in like, it's probably been, last time I went to PAX South, 2019 maybe, or PAX East maybe 2020. It's been a while, so it's good. I played it for like a half an hour, 45 minutes on the plane ride. Entertaining. It's a tough game.
How long was the plane ride from where you were at?
From the western part of the country, from Pacific Northwest, Washington State, it's about 6 hours.
Okay.
5.5, 6 hours.
Yeah.
Not too bad.
Well, it's like
a direct flight from Portland or Seattle.
Yeah, it's like when we went to Disney, I didn't take my Steam Deck with me. I wasn't going to play it. No, I never was. You know, we were going to be out doing stuff and then come back.
I never used it at night or anything.
Whatever.
Just a little bit of entertainment.
There's certain vacations I know, it's like, oh, my phone will be enough.
Yeah. The only other thing, recently I bought Midnight Suns Deluxe on the Xbox. That's the one that has all the DLC.
Yeah.
For like 40 bucks, I think it was, a couple
it's
weeks
pretty
ago.
Good.
I was like, got enough Xbox points, I'll do it. Pretty good, like it so far. It's got a little bit of a gameplay, like, learning curve. I haven't quite figured out all the mechanics, but I like the cards situation, like the different characters. Some of those characters in this game are terrible. I'm like, well,
yeah.
I would never use this. But they're interesting. It's kind of an interesting combination of, like, the version of Ghost Rider they have is Johnny Blaze, not the one that I'm expecting from the 90s comics. That was kind of interesting.
Yeah, it's Johnny. Well, the Ghost Rider, Johnny Blaze is there, but he's not the Ghost Rider that you play. It's the new
it's,
dude.
It's the other one. You're right.
Because he doesn't drive a motorcycle. He drives a hot car. Yeah, a car or something.
Yeah,
that's not
like
my Ghost Rider. Johnny Blaze is my Ghost Rider.
I'm like, yeah. So I was like, what did you do with the bike?
I want a Ghost Rider that rides a tricycle. No one would expect it.
I want. The thing that keeps popping up for me on Marvel Snap is the variant card of Ghost Rider, but it's the cowboy Ghost Rider on the horse.
Oh yeah,
it's like but I don't play Ghost Rider enough in the game to like justify buying the variant card.
I haven't played Marvel Snap in a while. I might have to get back into.
Yeah, I like Midnight Suns. It is great, and it is awesome to play on Steam Deck. It runs really well on Steam.
Yeah,
Deck.
I was gonna get it on Steam. I was torn between Steam and Xbox. I was like, I'll just see what I'm feeling and where it's easy to get to. But it's been so good. I've been like maybe like 3-4 hours.
I'm
liking it.
I pre-ordered it, but I got it off Fanatical right before the game came out for like 20% off, I think. So it was in the 40s when I got it. You know,
I cannot. I mean, I'm sure this version came with Deadpool, and I'm sure once I unlock him, I'll play with him.
Yeah.
Kind of curious how Wolverine plays too.
Yeah, I didn't buy. I haven't bought any of the DLC for it yet. I probably will.
I think there's Morbius too in the DLC.
Yeah.
Morbius, Deadpool, and there's one other person I can't remember.
I can't remember who the other one is. Storm just came out, so I think it was Storm that just came out. I have to look at the. Look at the Steam page and see.
Oh, yeah, season.
Storm just came out.
Oh, yeah, you get Deadpool, Venom, Morbius, and Storm.
Venom, that was it. Yeah, it was Venom.
Yeah, Venom and Deadpool would be good. Morbius is okay. It'll be kind of what version of Morbius it is, and kind of what abilities he has. But it's interesting. I'll keep keep trucking along.
$50 for back the season pass.
Yeah, well, that's why I got the deluxe version. Yeah. So I don't know. Maybe I don't get Storm, but I get the first three pieces. So that's good enough for me.
I'm sure I'll find it. I can find a code for cheap on Fnatic or something. Way cheaper than $50. So
that's it. I haven't been playing too much. Been focused on other stuff.
Well, vacation. You know, that's a
And like it's yard work season here, so I'm busy with that.
I pay somebody for yard work, so I don't do yard work anymore.
I might have to have somebody do my sprinklers. We'll see. We'll see how far tomorrow goes.
I pay for yard work, so that stinks having to with sprinklers. I don't have sprinklers, so. But all right, Dennis. So what have you been playing?
So, I mean, it hasn't changed too much from how it was last week, but I am happy to say that I beat Final Fantasy VII Remake. I think I was close to beating it last time we were on the podcast, but I didn't quite beat it, but now it's done. And it's, you know, just to sort of reiterate what I said on the last podcast, I mean, that game is just so... That's when I think of remakes, that's what I think of, right? I don't think of just prettier textures or, you know, a higher resolution. Like, that's every definition of a remake is that, you know, it's not like Last of Us Part 1, where it's just like, oh, yeah, it's rebuilt from the ground up for PS5. It's like, okay, but it doesn't look that much or play much different at all.
It looks way different if you actually compare them.
Yeah, but I mean, I suppose, but it just doesn't seem substantial
enough. You have to do the side by side by side, so it'd be like Last of Us on PS3, on PS4, and on PS5. They actually do look very different. Even PS4 to 5 is quite different side by side.
Yeah,
but I mean, it's not like they're fundamentally changing it, like Final Fantasy VII Remake, which is a completely different game from like the time between those is a lot further, so there's a lot more room to make changes than there is on Last of Us, where it was like yesterday, but a decade, still.
Only which so is much weird. It's already been that much. It doesn't feel like it's been that long, but I suppose it has.
I mean,
been.
It's just right now because it was 2013, I believe, right? Somewhere in there.
Something like that.
For the first game, I don't know.
Anyway, go ahead. Final Fantasy VII.
It was an incredible game through and through. I mean, again, I think I said this last time where, you know, at first I wasn't really feeling it that much, but then the more I got into it, I was just like, oh, okay. And then like little by little starting to click more. And then next thing you know, I just couldn't put it down. And, it looks amazing. It is probably one of the more solid Square Enix PC ports that they've done, considering most of their PC ports are just an absolute mess.
You didn't start it right away, because I remember hearing the Final Fantasy Remake PC port wasn't great when it came out.
No, I bought this back in January of this year, so I mean, I think the PC port came out probably summer of 2022, something like that, so
yeah,
it probably gave them some time to
so yeah up. There's time in between there for sure.
It wasn't bad at all in terms of optimization and performance. So
June of 2022 is when it came out.
Would hope so, with like, you know, many months of time before you actually got it.
I would hope so. Yeah, but I was also just sort of waiting for like a good deal too. And I think when I picked it up, it was around like $34 or something like that. So I was like, okay, now we're doing business, because I'm not going to pay $70 for, you know, I know it's coming on PC for the first time when it came out, but it's like, technically, this game at this point is about, you know, 4 years old, you know, because it came out on PS4, 2019, something like that, 2018, so probably 2019, so something, maybe 2020, but either way, it was, a couple of years had passed by the time the PC version came around, where I was just like, I'm not, that's not full MSRP, my guy, that's just not, I'm sorry.
2020. Yeah. Okay. So it came out, they had 2 years to get it on PC, so once,
okay. Yeah. And then never to get it on Xbox, since I guess that's good.
Never!
Actually,
Sony's paying that money. Sony's paying that money to keep it off Xbox.
But whatever. I always say, like, so long as I have a way to play it, you know, I'm happy. But, you know, not everyone has that luxury, though, which is, like, you know, for something like that, it's just so stupid. But that's a conversation for another time.
Well,
anyways.
let me ask you this. For somebody who likes Final Fantasy games, is not much into the action RPGs of Final Fantasy, would they like this game? It's $40 on Steam right now. And I go back and forth with going, do I want to pick it up? Do I not want to pick it up?
If you're not, generally speaking, a fan of action RPGs, it's weird because they actually did a great job, I feel, at meshing the two. Mm-hmm. Because when you're doing spells and abilities, everything slows down and it practically becomes turn-based because you can select what you want and then select the enemy that you want to, you know, do it to. So it's not immediately like you got to think on the spot. That's only when you're doing your basic attacks, you know, and then you're dodging and stuff like that. But, it's still felt very much like an RPG. That's the thing. Like, not once did I think, like, oh, this is too much like Devil May Cry. Like, I didn't get that feeling once throughout. I mean, only during the combat, if anything, I thought it was a great improvement, actually. I was like, you know what? They actually did a great job at finding, like, a sort of at finding harmony between, you know, let's make this more action-oriented, but keep that sort of Final Fantasy flavor to it. Now, Final Fantasy 16 is a different story. I look at that. Now, that's full-on action RPG to me. That's not like right. a Final
That's
Fantasy
why I'm remake. Finally interested in that one because it is.
And it looks, I'm not much on the action RPGs. Some of them I like, some of them I don't like. And I don't know. I've been put off with so many Final Fantasy games since 14. It's like, I don't know if I'd, and then I go back and forth, especially when they put it on sale like that. It's like, well, $40, I'm not out a big bunch of money. And it's Steam Deck play. It's verified, so it runs on Steam Deck.
Yeah.
So it's like,
yeah,
maybe? I don't know.
It just depends. I mean, honestly, I would say at the moment, no. I mean, it's gone on sale quite a few times now, and it'll go on sale again, and especially with Zelda coming out next week. It just, to me, just I'm just trying to imagine myself in your position where it doesn't make sense to buy it right now. So I personally wouldn't. So, But in the future, when there isn't, another massive game coming out, that you're interested in and you would have some time to, delve into the Final Fantasy VII remake for the right price. I mean, I think for what you're looking for and what you're thinking of, I think a good price for you would be close to 40. I would say 35. If you could find it for 35, jump on it. But I just feel like now, number one, is not a good time, but number two, again, even one who, like you, if you don't like action RPGs or just, action games, you'll enjoy it. Just because, like, it's again, it still feels like an RPG at its core. With all the, item management and skills and the classes and stuff like that. I mean, you're very much playing what is a Final Fantasy game. The only thing that feels really different, again, is really when you're in combat. The moment you're outside of combat, that is pure Final Fantasy through and through.
Well, I'm asking you this, and I'm kind of thinking, wasn't this game available on PlayStation Plus? And don't I have it in my PlayStation Plus library at some point? I really could download it and try it out and see if I like it, then go buy it on the Steam Deck.
Because it was, and I'm sure you probably did.
Oh, I add all the games. Every month I go in and add the games, so I'm sure I did, and I just don't remember it. So. It's like about halfway through, I'm like, now wait a minute. That would be the
I'm pretty sure that's how I either played the demo or I played it from PS Plus, and I didn't get very far before deciding it didn't mesh with what I was looking for at the time.
Yeah, I didn't think about that. So. But yeah, that's cool.
Actually, that would be the smarter thing to do is download it the PlayStation version and then just sort of, dictating from there, if you want to shell out the money for the PC version, which is the better version because that one also comes with DLC included. So it's the game is great. I loved it. Like, my God, I was just really, really impressed with it. And I wanted it to be in more, which is good. But yeah, very happy with it. Excited for the part two to come out whenever the hell it decides to come out. I'll tell you right now, I'm not paying $70 for that again, though. I'm gonna wait for that to come out on PC. I don't know if they're gonna do the same thing again this year.
I have no idea.
Not this year, but with the new one where it's just like a PlayStation exclusive for a year and then out on PC.
Yeah.
Again?
I think so. Oh, shit. Yeah. Okay, well, I don't think six. I don't think. I think 16 comes. Oh, it's fine. Well, I think Final Fantasy 16 comes like 6 months or a year later. I got to look it up.
Okay. Okay. Well, either 16 or Rebirth, whatever part two of Final Fantasy is. I don't know if they're going to do the same thing with console first, and then next year it'll come out on PC.
Well, but, and I don't even know when they've said it's going to come out part two.
That's true. Yeah. Because I mean, I'm not going to pick it up on PlayStation. I don't even have a PlayStation. But even if I did, I still wouldn't do that. I don't know. I'm waiting for Spider Man. That's when I'll get my PlayStation.
Yeah.
So, other than that, I have no real desire at the moment. But I mean, it's Final Fantasy 16. I'm super stoked. Well, not sorry, not 16. Final Fantasy Rebirth 2. That's the one I'm stoked for. And but 16, we'll see. That's not going to be a day one game for me, I don't think. Well, you know, unless I can find a good deal on it. So,
It's a game of that. It's like, it looks cool enough that I'll pay attention to see what reviews are at the time. But if it's like 10 out of 10s, I'll be like, okay, I might play it right away. If it's not, then I can decide if I want to get on sale later. It
says winter of 2023 for Final Fantasy VII Rebirth.
For Rebirth? Okay.
Yeah. Who knows?
That's definitely
going
to delay for sure. Yeah, that's. But yeah, okay. All right, that's interesting. Hopefully it'll see a PC release, but I'm probably going to end up... I believe this comes down to, you know, like everything, just what's coming
up. Well, and if it's something that your save comes over, you know, so who knows?
Yeah, that's true.
And, you know, and they brought... And Remake came out on the Epic Game Store long time before it came out on Steam, so, you know... Yeah, it was that's 2 years before. It was at least another year before it came out on Steam. So, you know, it'll probably they'll probably put it on Epic first again. Who knows? It's Square, so it's hard to tell.
What a mess. Yeah, Square's, they're just always looking for, like, those partnerships where it's just like, you know, someone always, they'll take anything. It's like Ubisoft, too, where they're just like, look, man, we'll
crank it out.
Yeah, well, it's just like, it's just like, hey, look, listen.
Yeah.
We got $150 million for you and only you. You put it on the Epic Store for 1 year. All we heard was $150 million. Everything after that,
sure, it's,
it doesn't matter. We're in.
And then we'll say it doesn't sell well because you know it's like, well, you didn't put it on every console or every place at the same time. So yeah, it's not going to. Yeah. So you know,
it's like I'm sure total aggregate sales by the time you know once they've got it everywhere that they want it. You know, and then, you know, however many years later, then I'm sure it looks great. But yeah, I mean, your initial sales, of course, it's going to perform under expectations. You know,
no, it's Square Enix. It never looks great because they're never satisfied.
No,
like, that's fair enough. That's true.
Someone inside says, hey, yeah, we'll probably sell 10 million of this game if we do this. All right, well, let's set our goal for 25 million.
25 million, that's right.
It feels like so often where they talk about their disappointing sales for all of like, these games that sell quite a bit of copies, and you're just like, but what was your goal?
Yeah.
Everything's just so unrealistic over there. This is also the same company that decided to sell, you know, Tomb Raider for crypto.
Yeah.
About that. Yeah.
No one's doing NFTs anymore. Stop it, Square Enix. Just stop.
Exactly. It was great, man, and I wanted to jump immediately into Crisis Core after I finished it, but I was like, you know what, I'm going to hold off on that just because that's a little too much RPG for me, and then with Zelda coming out next week, no, that's too much, So I was like, let me just take a break, I'm just playing some, you know, light visual novels, and you know, and that's basically it. But anyways, after that, speaking of lighter stuff, I started playing, I commissioned some Bees, Zero, they have a bunch of these apparently, there's like 3, 4, 5, not just bees, but like butterflies and like other insects and stuff like that. But it's literally just Where's Waldo. The one I played is free, so try it out if you're a fan of like puzzle games and like hidden object games. Like this it was so much fun. It's super simple. I 100%ed it in like maybe like 2 hours. It's a short game and it's free. Cool. So, you just find all these bees, man. This guy, whoever the developer is, commissioned all these artists to just make these artworks. And then they just put bees everywhere, and then you just gotta find all the bees, just like Where's Waldo, basically, times like 100, basically.
So it's kind of like zen and soothing, right?
Oh yeah, super relaxing, dude. Yeah, I mean, I would play this just
Until you find the angry bee, and then it all goes wrong.
No. Yeah.
It was a wasp all the time. You're waking up warts.
But there's a couple of those, and they're all more or less the same. And but I just wanted something simple and fun to play, and that definitely hit the spot. Again, it's free on Steam. Might be on other platforms, not sure, but definitely worth trying out. Won't cost you anything.
It's literally free. I mean, it looks cool though.
Yeah, really relaxing. Some of the levels get a little ridiculous. I think there's like 8 levels in total, maybe a little bit more, maybe 12. And some of them are super easy. Some of them are hard, man. Like some of these bees are just hiding in God knows where. It's like, and you see the whole bee sometimes. Sometimes it's just like the little part of the wing, just like a little smidgen of the wing, just it's hidden behind away. This tree leaf or something, and then it's crazy. But there's like hints and stuff too that you can use. I try not to use those. I did use it like twice, but there's little hints that you can use and they don't penalize you. You know what I mean? Like literally you just playing through that game will get you 100% of the achievements too. Yeah. If you're an achievement hunter, because the moment you beat a level, you get the achievement for it. And, and you don't get penalized for the hints. And again, it's very relaxing. It's very much pro, player, and it's not trying to fight against you. It literally just wants you to find the bees. That's all it's asking of you. Hey man, we're lost. Can you find these bees for us? Thank you. Channel your inner beekeeper and just gather them all again.
Sure.
So, but yeah, it's nice. It's a nice little relaxing game.
Yeah, it looks cool.
Yeah. Lastly, speaking of lighter stuff, this one was just a demo, but I tried the Street Fighter 6 demo. I tried that on both PC and on Xbox. That was a crazy amount of fun. I was not expecting to like it as much as I did, just because Street Fighter 4, I remember playing that a lot on 360 with my friends. I mean, just the amount of times, right after school, we'd go over to my friend's place for the entire weekend, sleep over, and just play Street Fighter 4.
Right.
We had a great time with it.
I feel old at that statement.
Oh, you know what? I'll tell you one that'll make you feel makes me feel older. I did it with Street Fighter 2.
Oh, you're damn. Welcome.
Champion Edition on Super Nintendo. Yeah. Right. Come tell me later about 4. All right.
Yeah. But yeah, I mean, this is all on 360, and God, we were buying Xbox Live cards too. Like, we just need another month, man. We're gonna go online. We're just gonna wreck fools. Incorrect. Yeah. The joke is on us. We're the ones that got wrecked. Yeah, we got destroyed. But man, it was just such a great time with that game. And Street Fighter V, gorgeous game. But those games in particular, and much like Mortal Kombat.
Wait a minute. Bless your heart, Sonny. Okay. Early 30s, whatever. Thank you. Thank you very much. I do appreciate
early
30s. It. Yeah, he says that we all look like our earth. Thank you. Yes. The white in my beard gives it all away. But anyway, go ahead, Dennis. Sorry, I had to comment on that.
Oh, yeah, no worries. By the way, shout out to Sonny. She's great. It's Street Fighter V. I had a great time with also, but the problem is with games like those, they're a little too intricate for me. I'm someone right. Look, I like my Soul Calibur. I like my Smash Brothers. I like my what's the other one? Like my Blaze Blue. I like my Guilty Gear. Those, I'll tell you why. Those, you don't have to do some crazy math equation. To just do a simple Hadouken. You know what I mean? Like, I don't need to remember. Dude, I have a better chance. If you were to tell me just a random license plate number right now, I would have a better chance remembering that than whatever stupid input they want me to do just to simply do a heavy attack, on something like Street Fighter or Mortal Kombat. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, I don't need to do left, right, left, right, left, right, down, 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 A, X, Y, down, down, B. Just to do your stupid what is it? God, I'm drawing a blank right now. Fatality. Thank you.
Oh yeah, the fatality. Yeah.
Why? You're already sitting there spinning. I've the fact that I've already won this match, you got to give me just a simple button press to do that fatality. That's what everybody's here for anyways. It's Mortal Kombat. It's brutal.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Why do I have to? And you know how stupid you look every time. Everybody looks so...
Oh, yeah.
Before you yeah. initiate that fatality. It's like, what are you... It's not even a taunt. Hey, what are you doing?
Yeah.
You
know? And that's why I can't play fighting games anymore. They're too... Well, they're too complicated, and my hands just don't want to do that anymore. Yeah. I mean, it used to yeah. back in the day. Plus, I used a joystick standing at the arcade. That helped out a lot. But, you know, it's like now it's just... I can't do it, so...
Because yeah. If you're in the arcade, you know you hit harder the harder you hit the button.
Oh, yeah. It's like the elevator. The elevator comes yeah. quicker if you just keep pressing the button. Yeah, exactly.
But anyways, the point I'm trying to make is Street Fighter VI now has introduced what they call a modern control scheme. And it is basically, once again, what I like in my fighters. It's why I like Soul Calibur. It's why I like Smash Brothers and stuff like that. I just hit right A... right B, whatever, and then that'll do a special attack, right? I can just hold, you know, up Y, and if I hold it, that'll be its own attack. I don't have to do up, down, up, down, up, down, you know, Y, B, Y, up, down, Y, in order to just do what I could have done with a simple button press.
Yeah,
you know,
that's cool.
Makes sense. So Street Fighter VI, because it implemented and has those controls now, dude, I picked it up so quick, and it was immediately just accessible, and it was fun to me, yeah. You know, because again, I don't have to study this moveset. I can just, you know, select a character and just jump into the fight and just have a great time without having to, you know, basically, you know, take an SAT before I do a match. You know, it doesn't make sense to me. So, but yeah, no, it was something that I really appreciated. And not to mention the single player mode now has this, I don't know if it's open world, but it's this big city that you get to walk around in now with a created character. Mm. And it's awesome because so in between fights, you can just go around and do these quests and stuff. So it almost has like a sort of RPG aspect to it as well. Huh. And you can just, and the part that killed me that I thought was hilarious is you can fight anybody. You can fight anybody on the street. So somebody just walks up to you the moment you press X. Yeah. You can initiate a fight. Even people who don't look like fighters. There was a dude, this innocent-looking man, who was walking down this sidewalk. He had a backpack, nice little blazer on. He looked like he was ready to go to like his psychology class. And I punched this dude. and so the fight started. And they have a little level over their head. And yeah, it's really neat. And it has a sort of Yakuza aspect to it as well, because you'll also, on the flip side, you'll randomly just be walking down the sidewalk and somebody will run up to you, see you, not like the way you look, and just be like, oi. You know, and just start you know, and just come up to you and start talking smack and want to fight, you know. And so I like that. This game is just so much fun. It has so much personality to it. And again, I got this all from the demo. The demo's like 45 minutes, man. It's true.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? 30 to 45 minutes. You'll get through the whole thing in no time. But again, with the modern control scheme now, it's easy to pick up. It still has those control schemes for, you know, the traditional one for the veterans and stuff that have been around for forever. And but you know, again, I'm someone, you know, I like my Soul Calibers. I like my, even Injustice. I loved Injustice, dude. I spent almost 100 hours in Injustice.
Yeah, too. I like those. Wow. I like those games too. I like the Injustice story in them. They were really good.
Yeah, the story was incredible too. Because Injustice, again, is easy to pick up. You know, because right. you can you can do complicated move sets without having complicated controls. You can. It is possible. And Injustice is a perfect example of that. Injustice, mm-hmm. Everything about Injustice 2 in particular, was perfect. You know. And it kind of upset me when Mortal Kombat 11 came out, because that came out a couple years after Injustice 2. And then they kind of went back to how it was, and I'm just like, well, hold on, stop. You had it perfect in Injustice 2. This is still NetherRealm Studios, the same studio, you know? And you guys had that control scheme down in Injustice 2, and now Mortal Kombat 11 just felt like a step back, so it was harder for me to play again, because, you know, here I am as, like, you know, Cassie Cage. You know, all I want to do is a fatality, man. And then if you want to do single button fatalities, which they do have, you have to pay for it. You have to pay for it. It's a microtransaction. If you got to pay like $5 for 100 tokens, and then so basically, which means each time you use a simple button fatality, it uses up a token in the game.
Oh, jeez.
What?
What? So like, so every time you want to do a simple and you run out of that 100, you got to spend another $5 to do simple button fit down. What?
That's
crazy.
Shady as crap, man. No.
Yeah. Big no.
Like, it would still suck if you just had to like pay to unlock a menu option for now. You could do, you know, single button fatalities. That would suck. But then they made it suck even worse by making it charge you every single time.
It's limited. Yeah, it's crazy, dude. But yeah, it just felt like a step out of mechanics. And even though Mortal Kombat 11 was a like graphically a beautiful game and story wise also a great game, and overall a great game. But me personally, though, you know, I never felt comfortable playing it because it was like I wanted to do all these move sets, but again, the window of forgiveness is almost a little too strict. I don't want to say small, but just a little too strict that, you know, it's, you know, a simple you know, up, down, right punch, you know, in order to do Scorpion's, you know, get over here type thing. You know, that wouldn't work more often than not, because, you know, again, you had to do that exactly. Each input had to be exactly like half a second apart from each other. Otherwise, the moment it was a little later or sooner, it just wouldn't activate. And I don't know. That bothers me a bit because it's all about ergonomics, too, with fighting games. And that's why, again...
Yeah.
I'll keep using those examples. Injustice 2, Soul Calibur, Smash Brothers, games like those, and honestly, even older games. Man, I'm trying to think, like Bloody Roar. If anybody remembers Bloody Roar,
I remember Bloody Roar. Yeah.
Oh Lord, I spent so much time in Bloody Roar. Bloody Roar was amazing, but it was the same thing with that. You know, again, you can have an awesome moveset, you can have complicated movesets, because I think people sort of, for some reason, make these two things synonymous, where the more complicated the moveset, the more strategy there is. And that's just not true. That's just not true at all. And there's a happy balance. And again, the fact that other games have been doing this for years, I mean, you look at, again, Smash Brothers, which sells tens of millions of units every single time. Why? Because almost everybody can play it. You know what I mean?
It's true. It is.
There is an esports for it.
Yeah.
But there's an esports for it too, and people can get super intense with that too. You know what I mean? So it's like that wouldn't be possible if it was really as basic as everyone thought it was. You know, but again, there's strategy, there is depth without the need to have to take, you know, an entire college course on this thing.
Yeah,
you know, just to play. I just want to play, man. This is like, let's just have fun again. You know what I mean?
Right.
Get that on a red hat. You know, make fun again. You know. make games fun again. But yeah, no, it's Street Fighter 6, because it has those controls now, dude, I'm hyped. You know what I mean? Like, I always get excited for Street Fighter because I love those characters and I love the art direction and like just the passion that's put into those games and the hype. I love watching the esports for those games too, man. It's just everything about those games are always so beautifully crafted. The stages, the characters, even the new characters, and everything about it is just so good. But this one really, I think, excels in, again, I'm just getting this impression from the demo, it excels in almost every aspect, and it's what I've been wanting. As a casual fighting game player, it's what I've been wanting from Street Fighter for a very, very long time. Yeah. You know, so I'm stoked, man. Like, cool. If there's not too much going on by the time that game comes out, maybe a day one? Who knows? We'll see.
June 2nd. I mean, it's not too far away. So, it's less than a month. So, you'll be done with Zelda by then. So,
we'll see. We'll see. I don't know. I was playing Breath of the Wild for 3 months straight, man.
For a long time, too. So, anyways. That's why I was saying pre-show. I think I put about 120 hours in that game, and that was just going around doing things. And then finally, the last 5 hours, I finally just went, you know what? I'm going to go. Finish, get the Master Sword, and go finish the game. That's cool. I might try the demo out. I knew the demo was up on Steam, but I hadn't had time to try it out. So.
It's free.
Yeah, it's free. Why not? So not a lot of news this week. I mean, there was some news, but. The big news is kind of the whole Redfall fallout. Phil Spencer on his interview on Kind of Funny Games. I know Nathaniel watched it. Did anybody else listen to the.
No, I didn't get a chance.
You need to go back and listen to. I listened to the podcast. Well, I say the podcast version of it. I listened to the recording of it on the podcatcher. I haven't played Redfall yet. Has anybody here even tried it yet? Just to see how bad it is.
It looks like too much trash for me to try. It makes me too sad.
I played about 2 hours of it earlier today.
Okay. So you played more than I haven't even downloaded it yet. I'd intended to download it today and just try it out for a couple hours before the podcast, but I didn't have time. So what was you, I guess PC or Xbox?
Not on Xbox.
Xbox. So how was it on Xbox? Yeah. Was it?
So I will say I think people are overreacting a little bit, but I'll also say this. I'm even though I think people are overreacting, I don't think a lot of what we've been hearing is unwarranted either.
Right.
I think there's a lot of valid points that people make. And again, with my 2 hours of it, let me put it this way. I think I'm good.
Yeah.
You know, I it's unfortunate because it's there's a lot of potential there. I can feel it. I can even see it. You know, I can even smell it, dude. I was smelling my controller all up and down. I can smell it. It was coming out. It's coming out of the screen. You
know? Maybe don't do that. Maybe
there's something wrong if you can smell it.
Sounds like something good for you.
Yeah, I don't know. You might want to check that controller out if you can smell it. That's not a good thing.
It's a scratch and sniff controller.
Okay.
Maybe start washing your hands
before you play. Wipe it down with some Clorox wipes or something.
It's not even me. It's the new Xbox Design Lab.
Oh, okay. I got you. All right.
How much extra do you have to pay for that?
Yeah.
It's $35.
Oh, wow. Yeah, that'd be about right.
It's a bit.
Does it depend on which scent you get? You know, that changes the price.
Yeah, I got bananas and cream in mine.
So. Oh, okay. That's the higher end. So, yeah, I got you.
It is, though.
Well,
the only free one we had was just apple, and I was like,
I'm good on apple. Yeah, but, and that's kind of what I've heard. You know, it's kind of you hear different people say different things. I've seen some people say, oh, I've played 20 hours this weekend, and it's not as bad as everybody's saying. Technical issues aside, you know, it's a good game. It's there. It's blah 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 blah. But I from what I've seen, I just don't see that. And
I've looked into it. I haven't actually played it, but I've seen some gameplay and like looked at some breakdowns of it, and it looks very much like an early access indie game that also doesn't have a very high bar for what they're aiming for. Very much just like, here's some standard stuff we're borrowing from like other games for like making an open world thing. We're gonna do some Far Cry-ness stuff all here. Nice. Except it's not an indie studio doing it. It's a studio that's made some really amazing games, like over the past like several ones.
Well, they made Prey.
Even if you're just looking at, you know, like Arkane Austin, right, is the one that did this one. But yes. Like Arkane, across both of their or two or three, however many studios they have at this point, like offices, like they've made some really great games. Even before kind of like Dishonored, they made some good ones. Like Arx Fatalis, I believe is the name of it. Probably saying it wrong. Like they've made great games in the past. So it's like when they're showing off Redfall, it's this like really fancy CG trailers and stuff. And like, oh, okay, you get an idea in your head of like, well, this could be really cool. And it's just like, the best that Redfall has ever been was that first trailer that looked cool.
Yeah.
And then it's just gone downhill since for like, okay, it doesn't look as good as what it is. Oh, wait, it's not the Left 4 Dead style type game we thought it was. Oh, it's a Far Cry thing. Oh, it's got all these problems at launch. And like, oh, even if it didn't. It's pretty much just like, okay, not as much. It just doesn't have the ambition you would expect from Arkane. And it feels very kind of just like watered down and like there's not enough stuff there. And then they executed it poorly on top of it. And it's just like, it's just sad as someone who like really likes previous Arkane games. I'm just like, the fact that I don't want to play this is just like, oh man.
Yeah. Well, and this is the studio that did Prey, you know, and Prey was, you know, everybody,
great.
Yeah, everybody really liked Prey. Now, you know, it's not my type of game.
That's an example
but
really good level design. Like they could be doing like the different type of game, but that doesn't mean that they can't apply a lot of the stuff that they do from Prey or from their other games forward into this game. And it's just kind of like, it's just like, they're just kind of like, oh, we want to kind of do the thing. We did a little enough to make a semi-interesting kind of world, but then we didn't actually execute it, and it just feels just like a big old empty map.
Well, and
a few enemies here and there, and like terrible AI and all this other stuff.
How did it get through Q&A? That's what I want to know. I'm real interested on how this got through. You know,
for most things that come out.
Well, yeah, you know, but I mean, you know, in the interview, you know, they just flat out asked Phil Spencer. It's like, did you think it was going to score this low? And you know, he was like, no, because the way these big companies work is they have people come in, play the game, and write a mock review for it so they can kind of get an idea of what kind of score it's going to be when it releases. And he says that the scores in their mock reviews were much higher than what they were expecting. You know, they were expecting it much higher than what it actually did when it got into journalists' hands. And I'm like, well, what were those people what were the scores? What were they, you know, what were they playing? Were they playing the same game? Were they playing, I don't know. It's all very, very weird. And it almost seems to me like it's like, yep, let's just throw it out here and get it out of the way and start something else. Just, you know, we've come so far now that said it's coming out. We put all this PR behind it. You know, we've got all this. Yeah, we're sending out custom controllers. We're giving doing contests. We're doing marketing. You know, just throw it out there and be done with it. And if you listen to the interview, you know, you could tell that Phil Spencer is being, well, one, he's being very honest, very upfront, and he looks like a man who has been, if you watch the video version of it, he looks like a man who has just been beaten this week. I mean, usually he's very positive and very, you know, laughing and having a good time. And he was not this. It was just like he looked terrible. He looked disheveled. He was angry. He was very, and I mean, good on him. He took the, yeah, it was Grumpy Phil, and we've never seen Grumpy Phil before, you know. And I mean, and he laid it all on him. You know, he said, yeah, when it comes down to it, I'm the head. So, you know, it's at my feet. But at the same time, it's like, you know, and one of the things that he said, you know, that got me was like, you know, Hi-Fi came out. It was really good. You know, Minecraft Legends came out. Reviews were, you know, mediocre, but it sold really well. The people who got it in their hands really liked it. And then Redfall comes back, and it sets you back. You know, they just take 5 steps back for the 4 steps they took forward. You know, and he's like, I could see I could see what's coming down the pipeline, and it's going to be great. But, you know, we can't see that as consumers. And I don't know. The whole thing aggravates me to death because I don't want to hear, I'm tired of hearing, well, you know, COVID did this and we were working remotely that and blah, 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 blah. Other teams can do just fine with that. You know, you know, that's, as a consumer, that is not my problem. You put out a $70 game, and this is the $70 game you put out. I don't care what your excuse is. That's not my problem. $70
game that they should probably be charging like $10 or $15 for, and call it early access.
Yeah,
that's what it feels like.
I mean, they did it with Grounded and Sea of Thieves. I don't see why they couldn't have done it with this.
Yeah, I don't.
Yeah, I mean, they're saying they're going to support it, but I don't know. I don't. Just don't. Sometimes you got to take the loss and move forward. Learn from it and move forward. Like.
Yeah,
supported enough to like fix the actual like some of the bugs and stuff so it runs better and get that 60 frames a second that you said you're going to do that, but then don't work on like extra expansions and like treat it like a games as a service game. Just don't.
Yeah,
it's not worth it because like at this point, who's going to even be playing it, right? Like,
yeah,
right, yeah.
The interesting part, like, well, there's a bunch of them, but there's a part in that interview where they bring up all the stuff that Xbox has shown that we don't have yet, that we don't even know much about, and it's this whole long list of just different games that they have shown off in, like, showcases and things to this point, and, you know, we haven't seen anything from them, so it's just kind of like, we're not getting many games. Last year, there was, like, hardly anything. This year, you have, like, 2 big games from Bethesda. The first one out of the gate is just a big old loss and just not good at all. Doesn't give you confidence in what Xbox is doing in the future until they can prove that, like, hey, this one came out, it's great, and this one, they're gonna have to have a run of games come out for us to be like, okay, we trust in kind of what you're doing with games. Because, like, the Game Pass is still good, the console, like, hardware stuff is good, it's just they're not delivering on the actual games side of stuff.
Yeah.
Which you can't, you gotta do that at some point.
Right, and you know, and and what was it he said, he said, you know, Starfield could come out at an, a score of 11 out of 10, and it's not going to make a difference against PlayStation. And he's right, it's not. People will buy games. Games will sell systems. But I think, and I don't know, I wonder if Microsoft doing the, we're releasing simultaneously on PC, on place, on Xbox, and cloud, and you got all the, is it too much at one time? You look at Nintendo, and, you know, Nintendo games launch, they don't have a ton of problems, but they're specifically made, first party, I mean, they're, you know, they're specifically made for the Switch, they know the hardware, and they're good to go. PlayStation, you know, their games come out, sometimes they have a few technical issues, but nothing game-breakingly broken like Redfall was, but they make them specifically for the PlayStation 5. PC comes later, and it's usually done by another team. You know, it's not done by the main team. You know, is it too much pressure on these teams to say, well, we have to have a PC version, an Xbox version, an Xbox Series S version, and then a cloud version, and they all got to release day one?
That is actually the more. I think it's the S that is probably the biggest wrench, because it's the biggest difference in things like your PC version and your Xbox version, because of them doing the, like, games for Windows, whatever. There's enough shared stuff there that probably, like, yes, it is extra complication for sure, but, like, having to go down to the Series S and make sure that version works also is something that I think is putting another extra too much complication. Because for cloud, aren't they just running that off of, like, Xboxes or something? Like,
my understanding is yes. Yeah, they're running it.
So I don't know how much that would fall on the game developer side to make that work. There's probably a little bit of stuff, but it's probably just, like, the cloud architecture that they have set up, the system already that does a lot of that. Maybe I'm just completely misunderstanding it.
Yeah, I don't know. Yeah,
I know they're going to have to do some work in order to get it running there for sure, but I don't know that it's the same as, like, hey, we're also doing it for, you know, a different console or whatever. It'd still be, like, the Xbox version that's in cloud. I don't know.
Yeah,
I don't use cloud, so I don't even know that much from that side of things.
Yeah, I use it every once in a while on the Steam Deck, but since I put that new hard drive in there, I didn't even download or didn't even set up xCloud again on it, so I haven't really used it in a while. But, you know,
I mean, it just feels like we're perpetually waiting for just the avalanche of games to come out ever since they've announced all the different studios that they've purchased and thing, you know, games they've announced and all that. It was just like, well, maybe next year. Well, maybe next year we'll get more. And just, like, we're not getting it yet. So it's, people are starting to get a lot more disgruntled with that situation.
Very antsy.
Well, and what has even Sony announced this year other than Spider-Man 2? What other games do they have coming out this year? Is anybody first party? I haven't heard anything other than Spider-Man. Now, I know Microsoft's doing their thing in January or in June, and you know, Sony is too. So, I mean, we may get some things there. But, I mean, as of right now, I haven't heard anything first party coming out for, and even they haven't definitively said that Spider-Man's coming out this year. But, I mean, I mean,
they've all but said, they're walking around that fine line of, like, no, yeah, it's wink, wink, it's going to be in, like, September or whatever, but just in case they have to delay it, they're not.
Well, and I think that's what they need to stop doing. They need to stop saying this game is going to come out on X date. And, you know, because, you know, Starfield, oh, it's going to come out this date. Nope, we got to delay it. It's going to come out the end of the year. And then, okay, here's the end of the year. Nope, we got to delay it again. Just don't tell us it's going to come. Don't worry, it's going to come soon. But the trouble is, it's a double-bladed sword.
You have to say something.
Yeah, you're damned if you do, you're damned if you don't. People be upset because, well, when are you going to release it? You know, and then they say, well, then the other half is, well, why do you keep delaying it? You know, it's like, you're not going to make everybody happy. But
Some of it is also, I think that, like, Xbox isn't the only people who do this, but the games get announced too early sometimes, and then you're just like, Scalebound. That game has barely been started, and we're announcing it as this big old thing, and then it takes forever to come out, or it just doesn't come out at all because it gets canceled in between, or whatever the case might be. Or, like, Ubisoft just like, hey, you know what? We really like to pretend that we're working on a Beyond Good and Evil sequel, but we're never going to actually release it.
Yeah.
Because we don't make those kinds of games anymore, but we know people like that, like, first game, so we'll just keep pretending we're making one, and then whenever you see footage from it, and you're just like, oh, that's weird. That's not what I liked about that at all. What are you doing, Ubisoft? And then they're like, oh, no, it's let's like go back in here and put it under the rug again.
Yeah. Oh, man.
We'll mention it in another year or two.
I mean, Xbox this week, though, has just been beat around the head and shoulders. You know, I mean, besides Redfall being bad and then the CMA blocking the deal, it's like with Activision Blizzard, it's like, good Lord.
It'll be fun to see where we're at in another, like, slightly over a month after kind of not E3 happens and, like, Microsoft has their kind of showcase and, like, everybody else is putting stuff out. Like, if it'll still feel the same or if they'll be able to eke out a win from that. Yeah. I mean, I don't know what that would be. It'd be like, hey, here's this, you know, cool new game, Shadow Drop, and it happens to be awesome and run well, or, you know, whatever. Like, you'd have to do something in order to win. Just doing, like, a showcase is like, hey, here's all this cool stuff. It'll feel like normal, it'll be cool, but it won't actually be like, hey, we're feeling better about you again now. It's like, all right, come on, show us. Like, that trailer was cool, but, like, where's the game, right?
Yeah. Well, you know, and they said this year is supposed to be Forza and of course, Starfield. So, I mean, there's still those are two big games. Well, we know Forza will be, and Forza will probably be great. I mean,
Forza will be big-ish.
Yeah.
Again, it's like, it's still, it's like, it's a racing game, which there's only so many people who play those.
Right.
And then it's also like certain people like the regular Forza, others ones like the Horizon style of Forza 2. So, like, it's good that they have the ability to bounce back and forth from those, but, like, they don't have the really huge hit. They haven't, like, a huge hit in a while. Like, even with just, like, the last Horizon game that was a really big hit, it's not the same as kind of, like, God of War Ragnarok or, like, Zelda that's going to be coming out next week. It's going to be a big hit. Unless it's just somehow Nintendo craps the bed.
Like, right, yeah. Well,
it's Zelda. It's probably going to do well, right? And, like, Microsoft hasn't had that huge, like, wow, everybody, like, we've got to play this. I need an Xbox to play this game. It's, like, really super cool. I got to play this right now. Like, they have a lot of, you know, decent games out there at times. So it's like, oh, yeah, cool. Especially since I have Game Pass. That's awesome. I'll try it. But they haven't had that huge, just, like, everybody needs to play this 10 out of 10 kind of game in, like, a long time.
Yeah. Well, it's, you know, if you haven't, I encourage you to go listen to it. It's 40 minutes, you know, watch it, listen to it. It's real interesting. And like I said, he's very candid and open about things. At least he seems to be. A lot of people are trying to spin it that he's putting on some show, you know, because the thing got blocked and, you know.
Well, that's not it at all. You know why? Because I watched the, like, podcast that they said about the interview. So it's them talking about the Phil Spencer interview.
Oh, okay. Yeah, I haven't seen that.
They had this set up weeks and weeks ago.
Yeah.
Like, they had it on the calendar before they even announced it quite a while, and they just waited till a little bit later to even announce it. Doing it just was, you never know with somebody like that high up, something might happen, so you don't announce it months out or anything. But yeah, no, they had that, like, lined up well before any of the stuff actually happened, and then I had to kind of, like, almost scramble a little bit, like, oh no, like, okay, this is what this is going to be about, like, let's figure out our questions, how we're going to do this,
because
they had a whole kind of rundown of how they were going to want to do the show before
all
these things happened, and they had to pivot.
Well, and Paris even said that in the interview. He was like, I thought we were going to talk about... I forgot what it was he said now, but it wasn't what they talked about. You know, he thought they were going to talk about something else. And, you know, he had all these questions for for the other subject, and it, you know, and it turned really, you know, it turned because, you know, what happened the day before. But, you know, of all the things that Spencer said, the one that got me is that they're not in the business of out-consoling Sony or out-consoling Nintendo.
Yeah.
He says they're strategy, gaming strategy is focused across Xbox, PC, cloud, and mobile, not just consoles anymore.
I mean, everybody says this. It's the same thing with, like, Nintendo saying, like, their Blue Ocean strategy or whatever the crap it was, like, over several years ago, of just, like, each one wants to do their own thing so that they can have, you know, that part of the market. They're not going to be like,
yeah,
oh, we're going to get in the ring with, you know, the other gaming companies and have a fight and see who wins.
We're going to get in the ring. Who won?
They don't think that way. They're like, okay, how much money can we make from doing our own thing and get attract people to come to us? It's not like, you know, yeah, sure, they like to get some share, but you're not going to do that by doing the exact same thing the other guy's doing because they're already doing
it. Right. Well, and that's like with Sony. Sony released their quarterly numbers, and it was the console sales were up 200%, but the software sales were down 10 or 15%. Software sales were down a little bit anyway, so people are buying consoles but they weren't buying the software. You know, they were playing what they had, or
that's, hey, we finally have a little bit more of a lot more availability, so people are buying them now. That's probably what that means.
Yeah, and but you look at Microsoft and everybody's like, oh, well, Microsoft's not, selling consoles. Look how their console sales are down. Software sales are down. Yeah, but games of service up, and they're making more money on games of service every month than they are on anything else. It's like, yeah, I mean, they're making money. They're making just as much money as anybody else's. They're just making it a different way, and that's okay. And it's not like they're going to stop making consoles, because they still want that Xbox out there. They want your digital library to go with you. I mean, that's a big thing that he was talking about. Digital library. Want that library to go with you through generations, you know.
I mean, that's a part of what he was talking about, too. Just, like, it's different now than it was even, like, back in kind of, like, 360 is where it started to shift, where it's not the same, like, here's a console, you have all the stuff on it, okay, now new consoles come out, and then it's in its new kind of, like, ecosystem, and then here comes a new console, and there's not as much overlap, whereas now, you know, you can still play some of the same stuff on, you know, previous generation, boxes or
especially
whatever.
Especially if you've got an Xbox.
It's less clear-cut, so it's a lot more of, okay, well, I'm in this ecosystem now, so I'm going to stick with it, is a lot more of what a lot of people do. Same with, like, you know, phones and things.
Yeah.
You see, like, okay, well, I've been in here so long, here's where all my stuff is, I don't want to have to go through trying to find it elsewhere. And so you have kind of that to contend with now as well.
Right, yeah, and I mean, and he's right, you know, when they announced the PlayStation 4 and the Xbox One, what drove me to buy the PlayStation 4 over the Xbox One was price. They came out and they were focusing on TV, they were focusing on, you know, this and that, and the price was $100 more. And at the time I went, you know what? $100 is two games that I can buy at launch. That's a big difference, and I don't want that Kinect, and you're not going to give me the option. And it was the console was it wasn't as powerful as the PlayStation 4 was.
That was their big mistake. We'll do the Kinect, and yeah, there was some cool stuff that, you know, they did with it before they finally, you know, got rid of it. But that cost them at launch because that was pretty much the $100 extra in the price. So if you didn't have that, boom, suddenly they're the same price. And it would have been a lot more competitive if they had just started that way, right? But it didn't, and we saw how it all worked out.
Yeah, well, and you know, they should have looked at what Sony did during the PlayStation 3 360 days. When the Xbox 360 came out, it was, what was it, $300. When the PlayStation 3 came out, it was $600 or $500. It was something ridiculous. So nobody bought it because it was way expensive. Unless you were a hardcore PlayStation person, you just didn't sell it or didn't buy it. And I was working at GameStop at the time. Couldn't keep 360s in stock. Couldn't keep Wiis in stock. I had more PlayStation 3s in the back than I knew what to do with. I couldn't give them away. The minute Sony dropped the price of those down to what the price of the Xbox was, they bought them up. And then all of a sudden, here come Uncharted, and everybody wanted to play that game, you know, and here come, this game, and here come that game, you know, and it was, if you're not competitively priced out the door, and after, I know Microsoft had their announcement first, and then Sony did, but at the same time, they should have went, you know what, we're going to take this off, we're going to have two consoles, you can pay the same price as a PlayStation without the Kinect, $100 more with the Kinect if you want it. But they didn't. They banked on...
Management at the time was also atrocious because... whose name I hate to utter.
Let me tell you something before you utter it. There are people on the internet that say he needs to come back to Xbox and run it again because they were so much more fiercer and competitive back then. And
that
I'm like,
no sense.
What are you talking about? That is the most ridiculous thing I have ever heard in my life. But anyway, go ahead.
So, I mean, he was even on that, what was that documentary, Power of Xbox, or something like that, or whatever. And it was the first interview, I think they said, that he had done in, like, almost a long time, really, almost like 5-10 years, basically. The first interview was in that documentary. Now, that man, he's got the initials DM, that's all I'm saying, and that does not stand for direct messaging. That's all I'm saying. I don't want to utter his name because he pisses me off.
What they say in Harry Potter, the he whose name must not be spoken.
Exactly, yeah. But that man came out, and credit where credit's due. I respect him for saying it, but you know, he was just like, no, I messed up. We messed up. Yeah. But particularly me. I messed up, you know, and with that whole console launch and everything leading.
I will never forget with the interview with him, with Jeff Keighley, right after the Xbox One announcement, because, you know, it was always had to be online. Had to be this and that. And Keighley looked at him and said, he goes something like, so do you have a console that, you know, is there a way to play your games offline? Oh, we have a console for that. It's called the 360 if you want to play.
That's right. I'll never forget that. Oh my God. What a terrible answer.
Yeah.
What a terrible answer.
Yeah. Oh yeah, we got a console you can play offline. It's called the 360. But yeah, I mean,
you should have left right there and then.
Yeah.
I don't know if Satya Nadella was there by then, but
no, he wasn't. Like, he wasn't there by then. But
let me talk to you real quick.
It is unbelievable the amount of people who think that he needs to come back because they think he did a great job. But I'm like, are you?
No, that's nothing but a suit.
No, absolutely. Yeah. I mean, he came in on the end of the 360, took all the credit for the 360, and then did the Xbox One and just dumped it in the trash. Look,
a lot of people don't understand how big of a job Phil Spencer has had and how great of a turnaround that he's done, because even though they're not bringing out the games that we want, the perception of Xbox as a brand and what they've done to consumer loyalty and what they've done to consumer respect has changed around tenfold. Okay, and he picked up a heaping pile of garbage that he has been doing his best job to clean, polish, and course correct, basically. You know, the man's still working on it. This, you know, obviously it's been, you know, years since he became head of Xbox, but with the damage that was done, I don't want to say it's irreparable, but I mean, it takes time.
Yeah. Like this, and Microsoft has actually given him money to do it this time. You know, they cut it so far back, and now, you know, Nadella came in and said, okay, we're going to invest in this. 2017 was when I finally came back to Xbox, and that was when Game Pass launched and the Xbox Series X, or not Series X, Xbox One X came out. And I was like, all right, you got me back. You got a great service. You got a system that's really good. It does 4K. I'm there, you know. And
yeah. Phil Spencer was a big reason for me going back, because I had owned a 360 previously, but after like 3 or 4 red rings, I don't remember how many, it's such a traumatizing event. But after so many red rings, I was just like, I'm done with this. And I was permanently PlayStation at that point moving forward. I mean, PS3 was my life. Vita was my life. Vita still is my life. I love the Vita. But, you know, and then PS4 was a weird transitionary period where I started, even though I didn't own still an Xbox at that time, I was like, and even, this was even before Phil Spencer came in, I was like, something's wrong with this company, man. I started opening my eyes a little bit more. I was excited. Something felt shady, especially with all the things moving around. Shuhei Yoshida left, and then, you know, and then what's his name? Sean Layden left. God, who was the guy before him? Jack Tretton left.
Yep.
And I was like, man, all these great, like, representatives, you know. And then Jim Ryan came in, and I'm just like, I don't like you. There's something about you. I don't like you. And sure enough, he's been nothing but a disaster since then. And then Phil Spencer came in, I was like, man, this dude is so charismatic. You can tell he's one of us. You can tell this dude just wants a genuinely great environment, not just for Xbox, but for gaming. He just loves gaming.
And Sean Layden, you know, was like that. Yeah, he was.
Sean
Layden
was like that too. Exactly. And that's why, like, I loved the brand. Yeah, I loved the brand when they were around. They knew what they were doing. They were, you know, obviously they are businessmen, but they're trying. But they found that happy medium of just like, all right, how do we, you know, we're a business, so let's figure out how to make money, but also we make money through consumer loyalty and consumer happiness. The happier the consumer, the more they're going to be willing to spend. Yeah. You know, we don't want to have to fight with them and try to convince them, oh, you got to get this game. This is the next big new AAA game. You know, it's not, you know, stop trying to shove that down my throat and instead just be like, this is awesome, ain't it? This is awesome. And if it's not awesome to you, that's fine. We got this over here. This is pretty awesome.
Yeah. Like, you know, exactly.
So,
High Five Rush.
You know, I think, High Five Rush, yeah. So, you know, they had a vision that was all about the art form and, you know, that complemented the business rather than the other way around, where it's just like business first or business only, rather. Not even first. Obviously, business will always be first. But again, you got to find that happy medium. And Phil Spencer is the reason why I bought a 1X, you know, and I didn't own an Xbox for, I don't even know how many years up to that point, maybe 8-9 years, you know, and then I bought the 1X, and I'll never forget it because I bought it on my birthday. It was the day We Happy Few came out, and I bought that with it because there was a promotion where if you bought a 1X, you got a free game with it, any game that was $60 or below, and We Happy Few had just come out. I was like, all right, I'll buy that. It's a brand new game. Check that out, and I had a great time with it, and then shortly after, again, Game Pass came out, and I tried out Sea of Thieves, fell in love with that. The rest is history, man. Yeah. And then, you know, here I am still on Xbox, so with no PlayStation.
I have a PlayStation, but I don't even have it connected to the TV. I just ended up unplugging it and turning it off because it's like, why is it just sitting here doing nothing?
Yeah, but digital libraries, like he was saying, is a big part of that too. Because much like Steam, I want that. I want that confidence in knowing that those games are going to stick with me, which is why now I buy 99% of my third-party games on Xbox. I stopped buying them on Switch. When I had a PlayStation, I stopped buying them on PlayStation. I was like, you guys are strictly for exclusives now. Because you can, and to be fair, they can survive off of that, right?
But yeah, Xbox absolutely.
But one of those companies I don't trust with online content at all, and you know who it is.
Oh, yeah, of course, sure, yeah.
It's... No, not PC. That's funny. Yeah, I agree. I use my PS5 for mostly exclusives, or my friends are all like, oh, hey, like Elden Ring. I was, you know, debating, do I get it on PC, Xbox, PS5? We talked about it. A couple of my other buddies local were like, oh, we're on PS5. I'm like, okay, I'll play with you guys. But with, like, Xbox, I'm like, is it a good deal on the game? You know, pull it up. I'm like, oh, man, you know, it's a Series S, so I only have digital, but it's a good deal, and it runs well. And I'm like... It's downstairs, so I'm like, all right, might as well.
Well, and like me now, it's PC because it's Steam Deck. Steam Deck.
Yeah, definitely you know. Change your body.
I'll tell you what, playing Halo on Steam Deck is unbelievable.
There is no wrong way to play games.
Grounded on Steam Deck is unbelievable.
I have yet to play that. I got that on Xbox. It's that little, like, you're a little short.
Yeah, you're out. Right yeah, you're VR, a little micro yeah, guy. Yeah, you're a little shrunken guy. It's great. It went on sale for $30. Picked it up, pulled it up on Steam Deck, and boom, 40 frames a second. Looks great. Runs on high. It's like, this is great. So, I don't know. We're in a weird place right now with Xbox. They'll be fine.
I just don't think we're choosing the right games right now. I think there's still that need to follow trends right now, because Redfall to me feels like yet another one of these games where it's just like, now, like, you remember, I mean, they're still doing it, but remember when every game for the last couple of years had to be a battle royale game? Now every game now needs to be, you know, Rainbow Six, you know, or Far Cry, something like that. It needs to have co-op. It needs to be a shooter, and it's just like, just stop it.
Or if you're a PlayStation first party game, you have to be a third person, you know, adventure game. Yeah, it's like,
right? Yeah, it's part of the it's in the contract.
Yeah,
but yeah, it's
open world.
Yeah, and you gotta have a bow and arrow too. Don't forget the bow and arrow.
I like these things, so yeah, I'm fine with it.
Yeah. Oh, me too. But you know. But again, it is repetition. I think, you know, stay away. We need to stay away from the trends. Like, just make a game that is fun that you want to make. I mean, I understand they're looking at the market and they do, you know, research and development. That's why they have those departments. That's why they have those teams. But again, when you're trying to make a statement, those games more often than not end up very shallow and they're not very memorable. They are the flavor of the month. It's something that people are going to play for, you know, a couple of weeks, maybe even a couple of months if they really, really like it. But then they're going to move on to the next big thing, and then they're never going to look back to that and be like, oh, let's just say Redfall was great. I doubt even 6 months from now people would have looked back on Redfall and been like, you know what? I'm gonna jump back into that and spend a bunch of time. You want to know why? Because there's gonna be another Redfall, and then another Redfall. It might not be called Redfall. That's what it is. You know,
it makes me wonder too.
Come back for blood. What happened there?
Yeah, exactly. Well, and it makes me wonder too is, gaming now is a lot bigger than it was even 5 or 6 years ago. You've got a different crowd of people who play games. You know, we play all kinds of games. There's some people that only want to play those AAA big games, and that's the only time they turn the console on. You know, and it's like, I don't know. If you try to make games for that crowd all the time, you're going to... I don't know. It's
the thing of gaming is getting bigger, but the other side of that sword is because of that, you have to try and appeal to a wider audience to, for all these bigger games, you're going to take less risks. You're going to do a lot more sequels. You're going to, go back to the same formula, even though maybe it's not technically a sequel, but we know, hey, people like these games, so we're going to make our version of that kind of game, right? So we've definitely seen a lot more of that pop up over the last, 5 or 10 years as gaming gets bigger. They're going to be like trying to do the safe thing all the time rather than like, okay, if we know if we do it safe, we'll get, money back from it. It'll be great. And, they're not necessarily looking to do, passion projects on that scale. That's kind of unfortunate. And then every once in a while, we get super lucky and stuff like Elden Ring comes out where it's this huge game. It's,
successful,
really well
people
made.
Like it. Yeah.
And it's also a big hit. But even without it being a huge hit, you don't even see swings like that much. And then, Elden Ring is even maybe a bad example because it is ridiculously huge. That game is so big. Even Redfall, that's also part of the disappointment, is it's a new IP. So whenever there's a new IP that we don't get those super often, you want it to be good because it's like, oh wow, maybe this could be new. And the fact that it wasn't is just part of the disappointment.
Well, that's what I was going to say. It's because you look at it from a business side and if a new IP doesn't do well, on the corporate end, are they going to go, no, don't do, the next new, we got this new IP that's this and this and this and that. Are they going to go, no, Redfall failed. We don't want to do a new IP. Let's do another Halo or do another Forza or do another this, We need to go with the tried and true because that'll make us money. We don't want to go too far this way. I thought with Hi-Fi Rush coming out, just being dropped, nobody knowing anything about it, and it taking off and being as popular as it was and as good a game as it was, that Microsoft would go, hey, maybe we don't need to have just the big games. The little games will do good too. I'm not saying they don't need to do AAA games. Of course they do, but sprinkle more of those little games in there. Let teams do more, we want to do this, and it's not.
I mean, it's all about balance, right? Have some, especially with all the studios they've acquired, have some of them doing the big games, but then have some that are a lot smaller in scope. That's the word I was looking at. Smaller in scope.
Yeah.
Focus kind of works too, but anyway, smaller scope games, so that way, those you can, and if you put those out because they're a little bit quicker to make, not necessarily depending on what it is, but probably quicker than something Elder Scrolls 27 by the time it comes out, who knows? Up the number so it feels like we've had ones in between. Yeah. So these huge open world games, AAA, whatever, take forever to make and lots of development power. And if you also do some of the ones like you're saying in between, then you can put games out more often.
Right.
And it's like you have stuff in between the big huge games too. So and it feels like it because they're first party and not just kind of like third party things or indie games, then it also feels like, Xbox is keep putting stuff out or whoever it may be. Because, Sony's not putting out tons of games either. It's just they haven't had a huge miss. Their last one was a pretty big hit, so we're not talking about them. Maybe they'll have a huge miss and we'll be starting to talk about Sony. Sony hardly puts stuff out and boy, this one was bad. Who knows? You don't know what the future will bring.
But all we know is Zelda comes out Friday, and it better be good.
And then that'll be the first AAA release of the year that actually works. Hopefully. We'll see.
It won't.
It is, by nature of being a Nintendo game, will avoid the 2023 curse of the bad PC ports. We haven't had a good PC port this year yet, really. All been really, really, extra bad. they're trying to make them terrible.
Yeah, well, it's like I say, you know, even Hogwarts when it came out, it wasn't, you know, it ran good, it was good, but it still had problems, and it took them 2 or 3 months to get them all hammered out, and just now they finally got a update for the Steam Deck that makes it run even better. It's like, you know, it's like, good grief.
We're gonna continue to have that. We've had it in the past, and we'll keep having it in the future because people keep pre-ordering and buying these games. Yep. And they come out and they're broken or they don't run that well, and then they get patched enough and then they finally eventually run well and people don't care. They'll still pay the $70 at the start at launch. So if they keep making their money that way, they're going to keep releasing them that way because they need to have money for all the investors, for the big companies and stuff. So they got to make that money.
Oh, yeah. Absolutely. So, all right. Well, that's all I have. I don't have anything else. And it's getting late here. We had a late start, but that's okay. That's no big deal. I know Dennis has probably got to eat dinner. Have you eaten dinner yet, Dennis?
Yeah. Well, I did earlier, but I am starting to, the tummy's starting to rumble a little
bit. Oh,
yeah. I could go for a snack.
I'm getting sleepy, so I'm ready to go to bed. So.
Yeah, I got an energy drink here, man. I'm always, if it's not a coffee, it's an energy drink.
Oh,
so you
geez.
Can't see it.
No, I can't. Oh, it disappears. Yeah, it blends in with your background. What's up with that?
You know what it is? You know what it is? I think it's just, you know, it's like an
promotion.
Like,
yeah, that's what I was going to say. They will not. We will not allow you to. You can't hold this up and go. They will not say what it. See, it says Coca-Cola, but it says backwards. There you go.
A monster. Yeah, monster. It's this the new flavor that they got. The ultra peachy keen. It's pretty good. If you like peaches, it tastes very good.
Huh. All right. I usually don't drink energy drinks because they usually...
I'm sure it's Bowser approved.
That'll keep me up. I just drink coffee.
No.
Coffee or tea.
I drink tea. I'm a tea drinker.
Yeah,
We drink decaf around here now, so it can't even keep me up, other than to make me get up and go to the bathroom 3 times a night because I drink too much of it.
Yeah, I can't drink coffee after like 4 or 5 anymore. It'll
Oh, really?
See, I can drink. See, like Mountain Dew doesn't do anything to me. I can drink the Mountain Dew right now and then go to bed and sleep 8 hours and be fine.
What he says is he'll drink the Mountain Dew right now, and 20 minutes later, he'll pass out on the couch.
Yeah.
I kicked all that like 1.5 years ago, and I pretty much just drink water most of the time.
Yeah, that's good.
It's good. It's good for you. I drink a lot of water, but I can't shake my Mountain Dew. I got to have my Mountain Dew.
I mean, I love Mountain Dew, but I stopped drinking it 1.5 years ago. A lot less sugar and a lot less caffeine.
Yeah.
I can't drink Bang. Like, I think I had one a couple of years ago.
No, I can't drink Bang anymore.
I can feel my heart. I was like, I cannot. I'm never drinking this ever again.
I can't drink any of that. Yeah.
My brain.
I really like the zero sugar stuff now, but it's kind of hard to find the zero sugar
stuff. This one's zero sugar. This Monster's zero sugar. Actually, I've grown quite fond of zero sugar energy drinks, so that's usually what I do.
I like the zero sugar Mountain Dew. This one wasn't, the Summer Freeze wasn't, but I found the zero sugar version of it, so, you know, I'll buy that the next time. It's Code Red's my favorite, but it's hard to find the zero sugar Code Red around.
Code Red is god tier, man. That one and the Voltage sodas of all the time.
Yeah, there is no zero voltage. There never will be. That one, they just contracting that they can't do zero sugar with that one. So. Yep. All right, well, we're going to call that a show. We should be back in 2 weeks, knock on wood, if everything goes well. So far, this streaming setup has worked, even though I have a monitor over here with Discord on it. That's why I keep looking down here. Hopefully, by next time, it'll be over here, because I got to get a longer cable.
Next time, you just need to mount it to your ceiling, so you can just keep looking. You
know, I could. What's funny is this is the portable 4K monitor that they sent me for review that I carry around with me and never use. It's because I don't feel like dragging it out. I used it for a couple months, and then I still carry it around in my computer desk. But it actually works pretty well for a third monitor. So we'll use it every 2 weeks as a third monitor. So goody. So all right. So if you want to come hang out live with us at GL Podcast at GL_podcast on Twitter, we'll let you know a couple hours before we go live, or you could just subscribe to us on Twitch, Kick, YouTube, Facebook. I do all of them at one time, so we're broadcast over 5 things at one time. So but yeah, so just follow us wherever you want to follow us at, and come hang out. If not, just subscribe to us on your podcatcher, because we're on every friggin' podcatcher you could get. So Woo-hoo. You can always get us somewhere. So.
Can't escape.
Yeah, you can't.
Cannot escape.
It took me a long time to get us on everything, and I finally
watch you
did.
When you sleep.
Yeah.
Gotta
have
got
mercy.
That shotgun approach nailed.
Yep.
I'm right outside your window.
That's not scary.
No, not that way. Not that way.
No. All right, guys. Well, thanks a lot for hanging out and listening to us, and we'll catch you all next time. Podcast is part of the Gamers Lounge Radio Network. Get more gaming news and shows at www.the-gamers-lounge.com.